Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman.
सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद नित्य गौरा हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य गौरा हरि बोल पाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य श्रोत्र सतहिस डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जाय। श्री श्री राधा रास बिहारी जी की जाय। श्री श्री गौर निताय की जाय। श्री श्री सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान की जाय। श्री महाशिवरात्रि महोत्सव की जाय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वंदेहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमो ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं वांशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकम् आराध्य भगवान् व्रजेश तनयस् तद्धाम वृंदावनम् रम्या काचिदुपासना व्रजवधो वर्गेणया कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलं प्रेमा पुमर्थो महान श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्रावदरहन परह हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीन बंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद द्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्णा सो वेलकम दिस इवनिंग टू द बिगिनिंग ऑफ आवर 3-डे कथा ऑन लॉर्ड शिवा
हरे कृष्ण जो भी भक्त हिंदी में अनुवाद सुनना चाहते हैं कृपया पीछे आ सकते हैं हरे कृष्ण
एंड वन स्मॉल अनदर अनाउंसमेंट सिंस अनाउंसमेंट हैज बीन मेड लॉर्ड शिवा डज नॉट लाइक मोबाइल फोन्स रिंगिंग व्हेन ही इज बीइंग ग्लोरिफाइड The latest edition of the Shiva Puran says that. So if anyone has a mobile phone, please switch it off. This morning we spoke in the temple hall during Srimad Bhagavatam class about the glories of Lord Shiva. But that was in Hindi. So some devotees asked me to repeat some of those points today in the evening, and also because many of you were not able to come in the morning, so we will distribute a few of those points over the next 3 days. Today is Maha Shivaratri. It is the Chaturdashi of the Krishna Paksha in the month of Magh. Chaturdashi means the 14th day of the moon. Krishna Paksha means the dark phase of the moon, the waning phase of the moon. And traditionally Mahashivaratri is celebrated on this day. But actually according to the tradition, Shivaratri can be celebrated on 4 different occasions. There is one Shivaratri which is celebrated every day by those who are worshippers of Shiva. There is another Shivaratri called Mas Shivaratri, where the month of Magh is considered as Shivaratri. Shivaratri means the night of Lord Shiva, so Lord Shiva is worshipped every day and every night in this month of Magh. And another type of Shivaratri is in the month of Magh, in the fortnight of the waning moon, that is Krishna Paksha, from the first tithi, the first day, that is Pratipat, all the way to Chaturdashi, that is the 14th day, and then celebrated all night long on the 14th day, there is also one celebration of Shivaratri. And finally, the main celebration, Mahashivaratri, is on this night, the 14th day, and especially the night of the Krishna Paksha of the Magh month. Shivaratri is celebrated all over by worshippers of Lord Shiva. We'll come to how devotees of Krishna should deal with Shivaratri and the worship of Lord Shiva in a few minutes. But I will tell you one story about the merits of following Shivaratri. This story was narrated by none other than Bhishma. We have all heard of Bhishma, the great grandsire of the Pandavas and the Kauravas. And he spoke this when he was lying on his deathbed. As you know, his deathbed was not an ordinary deathbed. It was a deathbed of arrows. As he lay on the bed of arrows, he was giving knowledge, transcendental knowledge and knowledge about dharma and duties within this world to King Yudhishthir. In the course of his discourse, he also spoke about the glories of Shivaratri. And he mentioned one king called Chitrabhanu, who was a king in the line of Ikshvaku. You have heard of Ikshvaku. He was a forefather of Lord Ram. He appeared in the Solar dynasty. It is one of the dynasties of Kshatriyas. There are two dynasties of Kshatriyas in this universe. One are the Somavanshi Kshatriyas, those Kshatriyas who come in the lunar dynasty, or the dynasty of the moon, and the other are the Suryavanshi Kshatriyas. They come in the solar dynasty, the dynasty of the sun. So, King Chitrabhanu was in the solar dynasty, a descendant of King Ikshvaku. One time it was Mahashivaratri, and he was fasting along with his wife and worshipping Lord Shiva. At that time the sage Ashtavakra came to his court and he observed that the king was fasting and observing some austerities. So he asked the king, "Why are you observing this fast today?" So Chitrabhanu had been blessed with a memory of his previous life. So he explained, "O sage, in the previous life, I was a hunter whose name was Suswara. I was very sinful. My livelihood depended upon killing birds and animals in the forest. And then I would sell these dead bodies of the birds and animals. And from whatever money I earned, then I would feed my family. So one time, I was traveling in the forest, looking out for beasts of prey. And unfortunately, I could get only one deer. And as I went deeper and deeper into the forest, night fell. And it was very dangerous for me to go all the way back to my home through the forest. So I decided to spend the night in the forest itself. I had not got food and water all day long. And I had this dead deer, so I hung him on a tree, on the branch of a tree, and for the sake of safety, I also climbed up the tree, and I sat there. Because in the jungle, there is always a chance that dangerous animals like tigers and lions may come and attack. So I climbed up the tree. It so happened by the arrangement of Providence that this tree was a bale tree, bilva. You see, just as the tulsi plant is very dear to Krishna, and we worship Krishna with tulsi, similarly, the bilva tree, and the bilva leaf, or commonly called the bale tree or the bale leaf, is very dear to Lord Shiva. So his worshippers, especially on Shivaratri, they offer plenty of bale leaves. In our Vrindavan temple, Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, just behind our ashram, there is a big bale tree. And generally the brahmacharis used to take the bale leaves in the hot season and make juice out of it. Of course, the brahmacharis would never take the leaves and offer it to Lord Shiva. Somehow it didn't happen. But the bale fruits are very delicious. And during Shivaratri, we would get a lot of people from outside who knew that there was a bale tree in our compound. They would take permission and come and they would pluck a lot of bay leaves, and we would allow them, of course. So this tree happened to be a bale tree, bilva. So he climbed on the top, and because he was so hungry and thirsty, and it was a little cold also, he could not get any sleep. So he stayed awake. And because he had nothing better to do, he had to pass the time. So he started plucking the leaves from the tree all around him and just dropping them. And it so happened that there was a Shivalinga right at the bottom of the tree. So all the leaves started falling on the Shivalinga. At the same time, this hunter was thinking about his family. He was thinking, oh, my dear wife and my children, they must be starving. All day I could not take them, bring them any food. Neither could I send them any water even. So they also must be starving. And in great grief he began to cry. And as he was sobbing, his tears also fell on the Shivalinga. So he was bathing the Shivalinga, and he was unknowingly offering bale leaves also to the Shivalinga. The night passed like this. He performed all the austerities that are required to be done on Mahashivaratri. He fasted from food. He fasted from water. He stayed awake. He offered water to the Shivalinga. He offered bale leaves to the Shivalinga all night long. And he didn't know anything about this. He had no clue of what he was doing and what merits he had accrued. He was just a simple, uneducated, crude hunter. So he got down from the tree. When the morning came, he picked up the dead body of the deer that he had hung on the branch. He went to the city. He sold the deer. He got some money, went back home, and purchased some food and fed his family. At that time, there was also a mendicant who came for bhiksha, for alms. And he did that other thing also that is to be done on Shivaratri, giving in charity. So he gave some food to the mendicant who had come. In this way the days passed. And when the time came for this hunter to die, then the messengers of Lord Shiva came. And they said that even though you have committed many sins, because you are a hunter and you kill animals every day, but you have done something very special for the worship of our Lord, Lord Shiva. The hunter said, me? Worship Lord Shiva? When? I have never worshipped Lord Shiva. What are you saying? He said, yes, yes, you have worshipped Lord Shiva. And they told him about that night when he was sitting up on the tree. And they said, because you have fasted on Shivaratri night, you have offered bale leaves, offered water and stayed awake, now we will take you to Shivaloka. So he was really surprised. He said, all right. So they took him to Shivaloka. And then he, as King Chitrabhanu was explaining his previous life to Ashtavakra Muni, he said, I stayed in Shivaloka for many, many ages. I enjoyed celestial happiness there. And then I was reborn as a king, King Chitrabhanu. So this story was narrated by Bhishma to Yudhishthir Maharaj in the Mahabharata as he was lying on the bed. So we can see the benefits of observing Lord Shiva's day, the Shivaratri, even unknowingly. This Shivaratri is a day that is considered to be very dear to Lord Shiva. And anyone who worships him on this day is guaranteed to go to Shivaloka, especially if one chants his holy names on this day. It is also said in some places that Lord Shiva and Parvati were married on this day. So there are various versions of it in the different scriptures. So all over India and even Nepal and some other places, people devoutly go to Shiva temples or Shivalingas and worship Lord Shiva there, hoping to attain the favor of Lord Shiva. So naturally the question arises that how should we, as devotees of Krishna, as Vaishnavas, worship Lord Shiva? How should we in particular deal with Shivaratri? Should we celebrate it? Should we not celebrate it? Should we sometimes celebrate and sometimes not? What should we do? In the Hari Bhakti Vilas that was compiled by Sanatan Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Srila Sanatan Goswami explains, quoting from various scriptures, that a Vaishnava must also celebrate Shivaratri by worshipping Lord Shiva. At the same time, the Acharyas have also, by their practice, indicated, and Srila Prabhupada expressly said so one time, that the devotees of Lord Krishna, the Vaishnavas, may not every day or every time celebrate Shivaratri. And he mentions in this connection a certain pastime that is narrated by Shukadev Goswami in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, you know that Nanda Maharaj was the father of Krishna. And all the Brajabasis, including Nanda Maharaj, loved Krishna very dearly. They loved Krishna more than their very life. In fact, the Brajabasis, who themselves were householders and had their own children, loved Krishna more than their own children, which is something very unusual. Generally, parents love their own child more than other children. But in Vrindavan, it was a different scenario. They loved Krishna more than their own child. So one time it was Mahashivaratri. And Shukadev Goswami explains that Nanda Maharaj, once upon a time, on this Mahashivaratri, decided that all the Brajabasis would go to Ambikavan in present-day Gujarat, because there is a famous holy place of Lord Shiva there. And they would go celebrate Mahashivaratri there and get the blessings of Lord Shiva. And they all went there. This Ambikavan is on the banks of the river Saraswati. This Saraswati river is of course no longer externally visible. She has gone underground now. She is not visible to ordinary vision. So they went there. They celebrated Mahashivaratri and then they returned to Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada explains that the reason they did that was to increase their attachment to Krishna. The Vrajavasis are our ideal in terms of devotion. Their absorption, mental absorption in Krishna is perfect and complete, unparalleled. The Brajabasis are the best devotees of Krishna in all of existence. No one can think with greater devotion and more constantly about Krishna than the Brajabasis. So everything the Brajabasis did was for Krishna. Even when they went to worship Lord Shiva, the idea was that they would pray that please make us more attached to Krishna. Let us love Krishna more. Many times when the asuras would come and Krishna would kill them effortlessly, the Brajabasis would be perplexed. They would think, how is it that a small child like Krishna is killing such big ferocious demons and so effortlessly? They could not understand this. And so they would speculate as to what could be the reason for such occurrences. And sometimes they would think, actually maybe because we have performed some very pious activities in previous lives, therefore Krishna was saved on the strength of our piety. Someone would think, sometimes Mother Yashoda would think, it is because Lord Narayan has been very kind, because I have been worshipping Lord Narayan for so long, so he has protected my child Krishna. She was blissfully unaware that her child was the origin of Lord Narayan. She was immersed in Vatsalya Bhava, the mood of parental affection. In this way, whatever they did was simply so that they could love Krishna more. They could not think of anything apart from Krishna. Also, the gopis of Vrindavan, who are considered even amongst the Brajabasis the best devotees of Krishna, they worshipped goddess Katyayani, who is Durga. They observed this vrata, this vow, the Katyayani vrata, and they went to goddess Durga and worshipped her to get Krishna as their husband. Of course, as we know, in Hindu custom, in Vedic society, it is said that young unmarried girls usually worship Lord Shiva to get a good husband. So those who want a good husband worship Lord Shiva, and those men who want a good wife, they approach his wife Uma or Durga. And there are other demigods to worship as well. So in any case, young girls, they worship Shiva not with the idea that they will get a husband who is very rich and very wealthy and who looks like a film star. Not like that. What is the value of looks in this world? It's there for some days and gone in a few years. So in any case, the idea of young girls worshipping Lord Shiva for a husband is that they should get a husband like Lord Shiva in devotion, who should be spiritually very strong, who should be very religious and spiritually minded. He should be a great devotee of Lord Krishna like Lord Shiva is. So this is the reason why young girls worship. So the gopis of Vrindavan also followed that custom, but now they went to goddess Durga and they prayed to Durga, not Shiva. They said, please give us Lord Krishna as our husband. In other words, everything the Vrajabasis did was for the sake of Krishna. So this time when Nanda Maharaj and the Vrajabasis went to Ambikavan, it was also for the same purpose. Srila Prabhupada explains that the purport of the words once upon a time on Mahashivaratri indicates that the Brajabasis did not regularly every year celebrate Mahashivaratri like that. And he goes on to explain that Vaishnavas or devotees of Lord Krishna may sometimes observe Shivaratri. It is not something to be done as a rule every year, every time. Although some scriptures do say that, but our focus is especially on Krishna. So we follow it sometimes, and we may worship Lord Shiva with a certain understanding, and we'll come to that in a moment. So therefore, devotees of Krishna may sometimes worship Lord Shiva on Shivaratri, or they may not. At the end of the day, the devotees understand that everything comes from Radha and Krishna. Therefore, one who is worshipping Radharani and Sri Krishna, they don't have to worship anyone else, because everything will be taken care of and provided by Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. Nevertheless, the devotees will still sometimes approach Lord Shiva with the understanding that Lord Shiva is the greatest of all devotees of Krishna. Yes, this is the understanding. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam itself have been described. There is one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which explains that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost Purana. And the verse says, Nimna ganam yatha ganga, devanam achyuto yatha, vaishnavanam yatha shambhu, puranaanam idam tatha. The meaning of this verse is that just as among all rivers, Ganga is the topmost, just as among all the gods, Achyuta or Krishna is the topmost, just as amongst all Vaishnavas or devotees of Krishna, Shambhu or Shiva is the topmost. In the same way, among all the Puranas, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost. So, as a by the way, as an incidental point, the Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioning that Lord Shiva is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. And this is the spirit in which devotees of Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu worship Lord Shiva. One time one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, should we offer respect to Lord Shiva?" So Srila Prabhupada replied that a devotee will offer respect even to an ant. A devotee is supposed to worship and respect and revere all Vaishnavas. Every morning we chant Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. We offer respect to all Vaishnavas. Not just the Vaishnavas who are here in Radha Raspihari Mandir at that time when the obeisances are being offered, not just to the Vaishnavas in ISKCON, not just to the Vaishnavas in India, not just to Vaishnavas on the planet Earth, but to Vaishnavas in all universes and all creation, including the spiritual world. So Vaishnavas are worshipable for us, even though we are devotees, but we become devotees more because we worship and respect other devotees. That is what makes us a devotee. If we directly worship Krishna, but we don't offer respect, we don't offer adoration to other devotees, then we are not considered devotees even. This is the verdict of the scripture. Lord Krishna himself says it, that one who actually considers himself to be my devotee is not actually my devotee. But he who considers himself a devotee of my devotee, he is my real devotee. So therefore, when we offer all respects to everyone, and especially all Vaishnavas, why should we not offer respect and all adoration to Lord Shiva, who is the greatest of all Vaishnavas? So naturally, for us as devotees of Krishna, Lord Shiva is a very respectable and worshipable personality. We should never disrespect Lord Shiva. In fact, sometimes devotees ask, if I am going by a temple of Lord Shiva, then should we go there or should we not go there? So what do you think? Should we go? Why not? Yes, we can go there. Just offer respects to Lord Shiva. But when we go and offer respects to Lord Shiva, what should we tell him? Should we ask him that please give me more money? Please give me some enjoyment in this world or a high position? No. We will say, oh dear Lord Shiva, you are the greatest of all devotees. Please bless me. Have mercy upon me that I may also become a pure devotee, that I may also follow in your lotus feet, your footsteps, and learn how to worship Lord Krishna. This is the way that we should worship Krishna, Lord Shiva. So it is natural, because Lord Shiva is a great devotee. On the other hand, if we worship Lord Shiva with a separate mentality, with the idea that he is independent of Krishna, that he is an independent God or an independent Supreme Lord, then Srila Prabhupada explains that will not give us much benefit. In fact, it would be insulting, because Lord Shiva himself doesn't like it. He doesn't like to be called the Supreme Lord. Inasmuch as a devotee would not like to be called the Supreme Lord, if someone were to address you as God, you would not like it because you are a devotee of Krishna. So Lord Shiva also does not like it when somebody praises him or glorifies him as the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada explained. He said to his disciple who asked him the question that I am your guru. So if you praise me saying that I am your guru, then that is all right. But if you praise me by saying I am the emperor of the whole universe, then that is an insult because it is not true. So you are excessively praising. So excessive praise is actually a form of insult also. For example, sometimes somebody may come and tell us, oh, you have done very nice service, or you are such a nice devotee. Now, Vaishnavas don't like to be praised. They don't like to hear praise about themselves. But nevertheless, if someone comes with a sincere heart and says a few genuine words of appreciation for us, then we feel encouraged in our Krishna consciousness. Yes, somebody is appreciating my service. So this kind of word of praise is sometimes all right. But if somebody comes and tells you, you are the best devotee in all of creation, there is no devotee in this universe like you, never has there been a devotee in all of history like you, and never there shall be a devotee like you in the future. Na bhuto na bhavishyati. Neither in the past nor in the future. So if somebody tells you that, then you will think something is wrong. This person is either making fun of me or he means to insult me in some way. It is an offense, isn't it? Too much of praise, ati stuti nindar lakshan. So it is a symptom of ninda or insult actually. So in the same way Srila Prabhupada explains that we should not glorify Lord Shiva as being independent or as being superior to Lord Krishna. Rather, what we should do is to see Lord Shiva in connection with Lord Krishna. In this way, Lord Shiva will be very pleased. In fact, Lord Shiva will come to our help, to help us to become devotees of Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the story of the sons of King Prachina Parishat. King Prachina Parishat was a Karmakandi. In other words, he performed many sacrifices and so on for the sake of obtaining some material boons. When his sons, his 10 sons, who were called the Prachetas, were of age, he sent them to do austerities in the forest to prepare for the Grihastha ashram. And their idea was that they would worship the Supreme Lord Sri Hari, Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. And then they would beg for blessings to become pure devotees. So in their hearts, they had a desire different from what their father had. They wanted to be devotees of the Lord. So as they were going westward, they walked and walked and walked, and they came to a very, very beautiful place with a very big lake of crystal clear, pure water with the fragrance of lotuses coming in and so on. And they were so charmed by that place, they just stood there. And out of the blue from the waters rose, who else but Lord Shiva? He came riding on his Nandi, bull carrier. And when the Prachetas saw Lord Shiva, they naturally offered their prostrated obeisances to him. And they offered him prayers. Lord Shiva became very pleased with them. And he said, I know where you are going and why you are going. Because Lord Shiva is Trikalajna. Being an extraordinary personality, he can understand what is in our heart. He also knows past, present and future. So he understood that these Prachetas were seeking to become devotees of Lord Hari, of Krishna. So he said, very good, I am very pleased with your very humble and devotional mood. And therefore, I shall tell you a certain song, certain mantras that you can recite and chant. And when you do this, then Lord Hari will very quickly appear before you and he will bless you with pure devotion. So my heartfelt blessings to you, O sons of the king. In this way, Shiva then sung a song that is famously called as Rudra Geet in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Rudra is Lord Shiva. It is a song sung by Lord Shiva in glorification of Lord Krishna. It was a song that he had composed, and he would sing it as his devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And he repeated this song and asked the Prachetas to memorize it and to constantly repeat it. The Prachetas were very sincere, faithful and devoted. They accepted the words of Lord Shiva in full faith, and they began chanting these mantras underwater. They performed penances for many years whilst chanting this mantra, this song of Lord Shiva. And very soon after that, after their period of austerity was over, the Lord actually appeared before them and blessed them. He gave them personal audience, darshan, and blessed them with pure devotion. So this is the role that Lord Shiva plays. So when we want to make advancement in our Krishna consciousness, then Lord Shiva will be there to help us. So we can take his blessings and seek his mercy for making advancement on the path of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes Lord Shiva is so kind that even if someone worships him without seeking Krishna consciousness, he approaches him for some material benediction, he may still guide him to Krishna. Actually, there is a story that Srila Prabhupada narrated. One time there was a Brahmana, and he worshipped Lord Shiva, strictly following the vows of worship of Lord Shiva. And he wanted some material boon from Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva appeared to him and said, "Why are you worshipping me for the highest benediction? You want something that's highest? So okay, I will send you to the right person. You go to Vrindavan, and there you will find a great saint called Sanatan Goswami. Seek him out and ask him what you have asked me. You asked me for the highest benediction? Okay, so go and ask Sanatan Goswami for the highest benediction." So he did that. With great difficulty he went to Vrindavan. You know, in those days there were no flights and no railway trains and no cars, and you had to walk. So he walked all the way to Vrindavan, and there were no cell phones that he could call up, "Where are you? I'm coming." So somehow with great difficulty he located Sanatan Goswami, who was doing his bhajan somewhere, and he came and prostrated himself before Sanatan Goswami. "Please give me your blessings." So Sanatan Goswami, like most pure devotees, had X-ray vision. So he could understand that this man has come here with some material desires. So he asked, "So sir, what can I do for you?" He said, "Please give me the highest benediction." "So what highest benediction can I give? I am just a mendicant living in the forest of Vrindavan. I don't even have a home. I don't even have proper clothes. There is no saying where I will get my next meal from. So what can I give you?" But the Brahmana had done his homework and research very well. He had investigated the glories of Sanatan Goswami, and he had heard that Sanatan Goswami possessed a jewel, a Chintamani jewel. You know what is a Chintamani jewel? A Chintamani jewel is a jewel that when you touch, actually you touch, it can fulfill all your desires. Whatever you want, you can get. We also have the Parasmani. The Parasmani, whatever you touch, it becomes gold. Nowadays we also have Chintamani, but people have chinta about money, isn't it? More money, more money. So money is honey, very sweet. Everybody wants money because they think that if we simply get money, then our life becomes successful. So they worship Lord Shiva, Goddess Durga, and Srila Prabhupada explains that Lord Shiva and Goddess Durga trick them, they deceive them by actually fulfilling their desires. Of course, Lord Shiva doesn't want to deceive anyone. That is not his nature. But the effect is like that. Because their stay in the material world will be perpetuated. They will go on staying here in the cycle of birth and death. They are not intelligent. They don't know what to ask Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva can give us pure devotional service to Krishna, which will give us the highest happiness, eternal freedom from the cycle of birth and death and from suffering. So why should we go to Lord Shiva and ask for some ordinary thing of this world like money, which is perishable anyway and which we cannot carry away at the time of death? Before that, the income tax people may also come. That is another matter. So why should we go? It is like going to Tata or Birla and saying, we are building a new temple for Lord Krishna. Please give us a donation. And they bring out a check. And they say, okay, how much amount do you want? And we say, please give me 10 paisa. Yes? They can give us crores of rupees. But we say, give 10 paisa. It's not a very intelligent thing to do. Similarly, to go to Lord Shiva and ask for just some mundane thing of this world is not a sign of great intelligence. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, kamaistaisairhitajnana prapadyantenya devata tam tam niyamamasthaya prakrityanyata svaya. He says, my dear Arjuna, those whose hearts are distorted with material desires, they follow the respective rules and regulations of karma kanda to obtain the fruits of their desires by that worship. So in any case, this Brahmana, he had also done his homework and he understood that there was this Chintamani. So he asked Sanatana Goswami, yes, yes, I know, even though you are a mendicant, you can give me the highest benediction. So what is that? That Chintamani stone. Yes, I have that. You want the Chintamani stone? Yes, you see, you are a mendicant. What do you need this Chintamani for? Yeah, I am a householder and I need some money. All right, take it. It is there in that dustbin. You know that garbage, the heap of garbage there? It is lying there. So the Brahmana was really surprised. He said, the Chintamani stone in the heap of garbage? But anyway, so long as he got the Chintamani, what did it matter? So he went to that garbage dump and he looked around and sure enough, there was the Chintamani jewel. And he became mad with happiness. He says, thank you, Sanatana Goswami, there is no greater saint in this world than you. Such blessings who else can give? So he thanked Lord Shiva that you have directed me to such a person. And then he went away. And whatever he touched with that became gold. He got gold and more gold and even more gold. And he had so much gold. Everything, he was opulent beyond limit, beyond imagination. But such is the nature of greed in this world that it can never be satiated. It's like pouring ghee into the fire. How can you possibly extinguish fire by pouring ghee in it? On the contrary, the fire will blaze even more strongly. In the same way, when we try to fulfill the longings in the heart like greed and so on, by acquiring more and more material things, the greed is not extinguished. Rather, the fire of greed burns even stronger in our heart, and we want more and more and more. Ye dil mange more. Isn't it? So that is the nature. So this man was not satisfied. In this world, it is a fact, whatever you may have, if you are not satisfied with what you have now, you will never ever be satisfied. So this Brahmana had unlimited gold and wealth, but he was not satisfied. So he went back to Sanatana Goswami thinking. He started thinking, now this Sanatana Goswami, he kept this Chintamani in the garbage dump. What does that mean? It means that he has something that is so valuable that this chintamani becomes like garbage. So then I must go and ask him for that something which is so precious, in front of which the chintamani becomes garbage. So he went back all the way to Vrindavan, and he again approached Sanatan Goswami, offered his benedictions, offered his obeisances. Sanatan Goswami was surprised to see him. You have come back again, but you must be very happy now. He said, yes, Mahatmaji, I am very happy, but I have one question. So what is the question? The question is that you gave me the Chintamani jewel very kindly, but you must be having something much more precious. Otherwise, why would you have thrown this Chintamani jewel in the garbage? Isn't it? You have something more precious? So Sanatan Goswami said, certainly, I have something infinitely more precious than this Chintamani jewel. Really? So please give me that. So then Sanatan Goswami said, I will give it happily, but on one condition. Throw this Chintamani jewel in the Yamuna and come back. So what? He almost had a heart attack. He said, throw this jewel in the river. So he was in two minds. If I throw this in the river and I come back and he doesn't give me anything, then I have neither this nor that. What will happen? So you see, fortune favors the bold, no? Whoever makes money, they make money because they take risks in life. What is life without a risk? So he said, okay, let me take this big risk. So with a very heavy heart, he took this Chintamani, and he must have taken a lot of courage to somehow just throw it. He must not have even seen it. The very sight of the Chintamani disappearing in the Yamuna must have been heartbreaking to him. So anyway, with great difficulty, he threw the Chintamani into the Yamuna and came back with bated breath. Mahatmaji, Goswamiji, I have thrown the Chintamani. Please give me that precious jewel that you have. He said, I will give it to you. Come, sit here. He said, here is the jewel. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He almost had a second heart attack. Goswamiji, I've already thrown the jewel in the river and now you're joking with me like this? What is this Hare Krishna, Hare Ram? You said you will give me something more precious. Then Sanatan Goswami sat with him and patiently preached to him nicely. And because of Sanatan Goswami's purity, then this Brahmana also became eventually a devotee of the Lord. And he understood the value of what he had received from Sanatan Goswami. And he also became a devotee of Lord Krishna. So in this way we can understand that Lord Shiva is so kind that sometimes even if one approaches him without having any motive of Krishna consciousness in our mind, he will still take us to Krishna. Because that is what he wants. That is what he himself desires for all his worshippers. But because his worshippers are so stubborn, they don't want anything apart from material benedictions, so Lord Shiva then grants it to them. He said, all right, that's what you want? All right, take it. You want money? Take it. After all, his wife is Durga Devi. She has all the opulences. But when it comes to devotees of Krishna, then he is very, very kind. Sometimes those who approach Lord Shiva as a demigod, and if their hearts are filled with material desires, as I mentioned briefly earlier, then they sometimes ask for such things which are inconceivable. One time there was a asura, a demon. His name was Vrikasura, and he decided to petition Lord Shiva for getting some material benedictions. He wanted to be the most powerful person in the universe. Now Lord Shiva is also called Ashutosh. Ashu means quickly, Tosh means satisfied. So Lord Shiva is very quickly satisfied. So if you perform some penance for him, then he comes easily in front of you. So Vrikasura began to perform penances and Lord Shiva appeared before him. So yes, my dear worshipper, what do you want? He said, give me the benediction that whosoever head I touch with my hand, the head will burst to pieces. Lord Shiva was thinking, my God, what kind of worshippers I have. Yes? And just see. Now he has performed penances, and what does he ask me? At least if he had asked money, the usual things, is one thing. That's understandable. So many people ask that. Someone wants enjoyment, someone wants money, someone wants to be a king. This man is asking for something so strange. But you see, Lord Shiva wears many hats. And his one hat is that he is a demigod. The hat that he really likes to wear is a hat of a devotee. He has other hats too. We'll discuss that tomorrow, because he is an incarnation of the Lord for looking after the tamogun and so on. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sathaiva bhajamyaham. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that as you approach me or as you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. In other words, if one approaches Krishna in a certain way, Krishna will also reciprocate in that way. The same principle applies for Lord Shiva also. If we approach Lord Shiva, understanding him to be a Vaishnava, and then we pray to him like that, he will relate to us as a very kind, merciful Vaishnava, and he will offer his heartfelt blessings for our progress in Krishna consciousness. But if an asura approaches Lord Shiva as a demigod, because a demigod's business is to grant benedictions to worshippers, especially if someone worships according to the Karmakanda injunctions, then the demigods are bound to offer some form of benedictions. So Lord Shiva now had to wear his demigod hat. So very sadly he removed his devotee hat and he put on his demigod hat. So then he started acting as a demigod. He said, okay, now you have worshipped, you have done all these penances, so I grant you tathastu, so be it. Now Vrikasura, being a demon, the first thing he did was he approached Lord Shiva like Hitler. He wanted to touch Lord Shiva's head. And Lord Shiva was even more shocked. One shock was enough, and this was the second one. I gave him the benediction and now he comes to kill me. And because it was Lord Shiva's benediction, so it was true. Lord Shiva understands his own potency, his own powers. Lord Shiva's benedictions never go in vain. So Lord Shiva began to run. And Vrikasura went after him, running. And Lord Shiva was praying to Krishna, please, O Krishna, help me. So Krishna appeared in the guise of a Brahmin. And he came there. And as you know, no one can be a better salesman than Lord Krishna. Krishna can speak so sweetly that he can do anything. He can sell anything to anyone. So he came and he stopped Vrikasura. And he said, oh Vrikasura, oh great soul, where are you going? So he said, I got this benediction from Lord Shiva and I'm going to touch his head because of so many reasons. So this Brahmana started laughing loudly. Vrikasura was upset. Why are you laughing like this? He said, you are such a simpleton. So what do you mean? He said, you don't know this Shiva. His benedictions have no value. I know, I have experience. Shiva gives so many blessings and so many benedictions and everybody gets disappointed. This is the nature of Shiva. He happily gives all kinds of things, benedictions. So I will advise you, don't believe him. Just touch your own head and see, and you will be sure that his benediction will be false. Then we can go and punish him for giving false benedictions. So he spoke in such a sweet way, Vrikasura was convinced, yes, I must test, yeah, really, Shiva, his blessings work or they don't work, let me test it. And then he put his hand on his own head, and that was the end of Vrikasura. His body became reduced to ashes, and that is why he is also known as Bhasmasura. Bhasma means ash. And then Lord Shiva was feeling very embarrassed. You know, I have given this benediction and Krishna has to come to my rescue. You see, when demigods offer benedictions to their demonic worshippers, the worshipper eventually is killed and the demigod who gives the benediction is also in trouble. As it happened in the case of Brahma giving benedictions to Hiranyakashipu. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita of Sanatana Goswami, Brahmaji speaks the glories of Lord Shiva. He said Shiva is so dear to Lord Krishna. He is Lord Krishna's intimate friend. And there is no one in the creation who is more dear to Krishna than Lord Shiva. And he said, I will explain. Long time ago, in Satya Yuga, I gave benedictions to that demon called Hiranyakashipu. This Hiranyakashipu had performed such severe penances. And when I appeared before him, I was astonished to see that his entire body, his flesh and muscles had been eaten away by ants and insects. And he was only just a skeleton. And he had managed to maintain his life airs within his skeleton, within the bone marrow. I was most astonished. And then I sprinkled water from my kamandalu on this body and gave him a very beautiful, handsome body of golden complexion that was as strong as a thunderbolt. And Hiranyakashipu asked me so many benedictions. You know that story, yes? And that eventually led to Lord Narsingadeva appearing. And then he had to kill Hiranyakashipu. But not before Hiranyakashipu, to use the words of Srila Prabhupada, had become a fever of meningitis in the head of the whole universe. He had become such a nuisance for the whole universe. Finally, only the Lord had to come and destroy him. And afterwards, the Lord came and admonished, rebuked Brahma. Brahmaji, you give all kinds of benedictions to these people and then see the havoc they create, and then I have to come and sort out the matter. So don't give benedictions like this. So Brahma was recalling this incident and he said, when I gave benedictions like this to Hiranyakashipu, the Lord admonished me. But when Shiva gave this benediction to Vrikasura, and the Lord came in the form of the Brahmana, he didn't admonish Lord Shiva. He spoke very sweetly to Lord Shiva. He said, oh Lord Shambhu, Lord Shiva, you are the greatest among all. You are our Mahajan. And just see, this man was so sinful, he dared to offend you. And when you offend a great Mahajan, this is the result that happens. So he has got destroyed as a result of his own sinful activities, or you are so exalted, O Lord Shiva. So Brahma was saying, when I did it, I got the sauce, as they say. I got chastisement. And when Lord Shiva did it, he got sweet words of praise. And even later, Lord Shiva was always given blessings by Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. So this is the nature of how we can understand Lord Shiva being so dear to Lord Krishna. So in this way, Lord Shiva is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Brahma went on to give examples like this and said that, as far as I am concerned, for me, there is no one more worshipable than Lord Shiva. So Brahma was explaining like this: we can understand from the authoritative sources of the universe about Lord Shiva's greatness. When Ravana wanted to get benedictions, he also performed terrible tapasya. He and Kumbhakarna and Suparnakha, they all went, they were all performing penances. Vibhishana, I beg your pardon, Suparnakha was also there, Vibhishan. And they performed penances for a long time. Now, as you know, Ravana's name was Dashagriva originally. Dasha in Sanskrit means 10, and Griva means neck or head. So he was born with 10 heads. And when he started performing austerities, what did he do? He started actually cutting off his heads and offering them to Lord Shiva. And he offered one head, then he offered the second head, he offered the third head, and Lord Shiva was just waiting, thinking, holding his hand on his forehead, another one of those characters. And the worship was going on and on. He cut off his 9 heads, and there was a 10th head remaining, and he was going to cut even that, and Lord Shiva could not tolerate. He said, wait, what are you doing? He said, this is the nature of the demoniac people who worship Lord Shiva. See the difference in the approach. So Ravana said, oh my dear Lord, thank you for having come. Please give me the benediction that I will be all powerful and so on and so forth. So many things he asked from Lord Shiva. And then he asked Vibhishan, what benedictions do you want? Because he had also been for 10,000 years performing austerities just as Ravana had been. Vibhishan asked for the benediction, my dear Lord, please give me the benediction that I will always be on the path of virtue, that I will never, even in the most difficult circumstances, give up the path of dharma. Just see the difference between the two brothers. Exactly the opposite. And now by this time, Shiva came to the third brother. That was Kumbhakarna. By now the demigods were getting nervous. So they said, now if he's not like Vibhishan, he's going to ask benedictions like Ravana, like Dashagriva. So they consulted amongst themselves very quickly. They had some small quick ishtagoshti in the higher planets, and then they spoke to Brahma. Brahma said, okay, I'll do the needful. He spoke to his wife Saraswati Devi, the goddess of learning. Those who have Vak Siddhi means the perfection of speech, they're very charismatic speakers, and they speak in such a way that it hypnotizes people practically. So that's because of the blessings of Saraswati Devi. Also those who are very scholarly, very learned, are ones who have the blessings of Saraswati Devi. So Brahma said to Saraswati Devi, please do the needful. So Saraswati Devi went just in time and manifested herself on the tongue of Kumbhakarna. And Kumbhakarna wanted to ask freedom from oppression from the demigods. He wanted to say that, let me be free from the control of the demigods and let me be the controller of the demigods. So he wanted to ask for nirdevatvam. But then somehow, because Goddess Saraswati sat there on his tongue, she bewildered his mind and some other word came from his mouth. Nidravatvam. So the moment he spoke Nidravatvam, now already there was a conspiracy. Lord Shiva had already been warned, you better do. So Brahma, Shiva, so they all said Tathastu. Immediately they said, so be it. Nidravatvam means, I want to sleep. So he got the heartfelt blessings like that. And therefore he slept as you know he did. So this is the worshippers of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, such demigods. They worship like this. And see the difficulties they create for everyone. So even when the demons approach Lord Shiva, he is very kind. He comes to them, he grants them the benediction, and sometimes he falls in trouble because of that. But nevertheless, he continues to do his duty. Because by nature he is very soft, Ashutosh. So anyone asks him anything, he immediately grants it. But Ashutosh also means the opposite, that he also gets angry very fast. Like iron. Iron gets hot very fast, and iron gets cold also very fast. So his partial expansion, Durvasa Muni, exhibited these qualities. And he would get angry very fast, or he would be pleased very quickly. So Lord Shiva is often approached by people who want these benedictions, and Lord Shiva happily grants them the benedictions. So for today we will stop here. For the next 2 days, there is actually so much to discuss about Lord Shiva and his glories. We will talk more about him and with many more pastimes tomorrow and day after in the evening. We will leave some time for questions now. So if any of you have any questions, please feel free to ask. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for the wonderful class. I always had one doubt regarding Lord Shiva's worship, which I wanted to kind of clarify, especially when we go to the dhams and the parikramas of and visit Lord Shiva's temples. I have been told by some devotees that you should not circumambulate the Shaligram Shila like 3 times how we do for Lord Krishna. Is that true, and could you throw some light on it?
Actually, there are different rules and regulations for circumambulating the different deities in the universe. There is some quote from some Purana, I don't exactly remember the verse, but for Krishna, you are supposed to circumambulate 4 times. Then for Surya, I think it is Surya or Ganesh, then it's 7 times, something like that. For different deities, it is different times. For Lord Shiva's linga, it is half, I think. You have to circumambulate half the linga. So these are rules that are given in the Puranas. Okay?
Okay.
So next time you go to a Shiva linga, you want to offer parikrama or pradakshina, you do half.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Alright? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, I have noticed that near our Skon temple, we find everywhere Shiva temple. Is this a coincidence or something else?
Actually, you are right. I am thinking of various other temples that I can think of, and yes, there are Shiva temples close by, yes. Maybe we'll talk more about that maybe day after when we talk about Shiva as a Dikpal. Shiva is a protector of the holy places. Yeah, so wherever in Mayapur, in Vrindavan, in Mathura, Lord Shiva is present as a guardian of the holy places. So because it's Lord Krishna's temple, maybe he's standing there to guard. Whether it's coincidence or not, I cannot say. And that Lord Shiva can say. Okay? Any other question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Where is the mic? Okay. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Like an Akashwani, otherwise you don't know who is speaking. Yeah?
Yeah. The true quality of a devotee is to give up anger. We have to give up the qualities of anger, greed and everything. But still
not necessarily.
anger?
The true quality of a devotee to give up
or
anger?
Or a Vaishnava?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Arjuna was angry like anything when he was fighting the battle. Isn't it?
Okay.
When you fight a battle, you cannot be saying Hari Bol and then shooting an arrow,
okay.
Isn't it? Correct?
So I have a question regarding that. I thought to my knowledge, to my whatever
yes.
I believed.
Hanuman. Hanuman was so angry when he burned down Lanka.
Okay.
So for the service of the Lord, sometimes devotees have to use anger. But of course, we must do it very carefully. Now we mustn't say, I heard in today's class that it's not necessary and then we go home and get angry at everyone. Not like that.
So
anyway, please continue with your question.
Yes, it is just regarding what I knew. So you just mentioned Lord Shiva is referred as Ashutosh, who gets angry very fast and he gets satisfied very fast. So being a Vaishnava or a devotee of the Lord, his quality of being to get angry so fast, so how come still he is designated or respected as a Vaishnava? If anger is one of the qualities which we should give up as a Vaishnava, then why still is he respected as the greatest Vaishnava?
You see, for exalted personalities like Narad Muni, Lord Shiva and such great souls, anger is mercy, is an exhibition of mercy. When the ordinary person gets angry, he gets angry because his false ego has been pricked or because his sense gratification has been interfered with, isn't it? But the pure devotees of the Lord, when they get angry, it is because they want to show mercy. When Narad Muni saw Nala Kuvar and Mani Griva, the sons of Kuvera, misbehaving and not even bothering to offer respect to Narad Muni, when he passed by, they didn't even cover themselves properly. So Narad Muni, being a great devotee, why would he get upset that these people have not offered me respect? He was not in the platform of ego. Egoistic, materialistic people in this world, if someone doesn't show them respect, they get very angry. But Narad Muni did not get angry because of that. Narad Muni was thinking to give mercy to these two brothers so that they would get pure. And his curse actually happened to be a benediction, because eventually they got the blessings of Lord Krishna, they got darshan of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, and they became pure devotees. They got the gift of prema bhakti from Krishna himself. So similarly, when Lord Shiva gets angry also, his anger, being a great Vaishnava, is not an ordinary thing. It is also an exhibition of his mercy upon different entities. Alright? And also another thing is that Lord Shiva, again, that is a question of tattva, if we get time we can talk about it tomorrow, that Lord Shiva is in charge of the mode of ignorance. He is a predominating deity of the mode of ignorance, just as Lord Vishnu is a predominating deity in the charge of in the mode of goodness, and Brahma for the mode of passion. So anger is a quality of the mode of ignorance. So therefore sometimes there may be slight, very very slight effect of that also, because he has to do that job. Okay? Okay, any other question? Where is the mic? Please, yeah, okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
What is the special quality or characteristic which separates Lord Shiva as the topmost Vaishnava as compared to, say, Narad Muni or Lord Brahma or some other demigods?
It is his devotion. Of course, you see, in devotional philosophy, when a particular devotee is glorified, then he is really glorified. So when we mean that he is the greatest of all Vaishnavas, it means that he is such a great Vaishnava. We understand that the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis in particular, they are the highest devotees of the Lord. There can be nobody like them. So some form of gradation can be done higher than Shiva. For example, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that is mentioned, that higher than Lord Shiva is Prahlad, higher than Prahlad are the Yadus. Among the Yadus, the best is Uddhava. Higher than that are the Brajabasis, and so on. So there is a gradation like that. So we can understand that Lord Shiva is indeed very, very exalted. So these statements have to be seen in that context. Similarly, Narad Muni is also great. So all the great devotees of the Lord are glorified in this way sometimes. Okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
What is the reason of Lord Shiva's Shivalinga worship?
What is the reason for Lord Shiva's Shivalinga worship? Now that will need some explanation, perhaps tomorrow or day after, let us see. But Lord Shiva has a role to play. I will answer very briefly. Lord Shiva has a very important role to play in the creation of this universe. When we speak of nature, do we use the word Mother Nature? We say that? Mother Nature. Who is Mother Nature? Durga, Maya. Maya Devi is Mother Nature. So she is mother and we are children. The 84 lakh species of life, these different varieties of bodies are creations of Durga or Maya. So she is mother. So who is father? Who is her husband? Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is the father. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, Sarva yonishu kaunteya murtayah sambhavantiyah tasam aham mahat brahma yonir aham bija pradahipita. He says that of all the different 84 lakh species of life, I am the seed giving father. Krishna is saying that. On the other hand, we see that Lord Shiva is the father. So who is the real father? The real father is of course Krishna. Pitahamasya jagato mata dhata pitamaha. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the father, the grandfather, the everything for the living entity. But Lord Shiva is Lord Krishna's representative. He plays the role of the father on behalf of Lord Krishna. Because Lord Krishna is always aloof from Maya. He never comes in contact with Maya. When he has to come in contact with Maya, then Lord Shiva, his representative, does so. So Lord Shiva also represents the procreating or creative principle. That is why the Shivalinga is worshipped. Okay? So for today, we'll stop this answer at this point and we'll elaborate further tomorrow and day after. Okay? Yes. Further question, the mic please. Who has the mic? Okay.
Suppose we are attached with Maya, and if we are not detached with Maya, we cannot be called a pure devotee, right?
Yes.
If one is attached to Maya, he cannot
yes.
become a pure devotee.
Yes.
Now Lord Shiva, you said, is attached to Maya. Means he's having contact with Maya.
Very good.
Then how can he be a topmost devotee?
Because he is not us. Because even if we drink a drop of poison, we will die. But Lord Shiva can drink an ocean of poison, keep it in his throat, and he is glorified as Neelakantha. He is still today holding that poison here, not letting it go below. That is his power. So the Srimad Bhagavatam states that great controllers of this world can never be imitated. That is why Lord Shiva is so special. That even though he is in contact with Maya, he is still a great devotee. But we must remember again that even Maya is a devotee of Krishna. She also has hats. In her original form, she is like her husband. She is also a great devotee of Krishna. But when she has to do her official function, then she wears the official hat of being Durga Devi. Then she subjects the living entities in the universe to so many distresses, the adhyatmika klesh, adhi bhautika klesh, adhi daivika klesh, threefold miseries. That is her official duty. With her trishul, she does that. But actually, she is a devotee. But when we associate with Maya, when we are attached to Maya, we are attached to her official form. And therefore we suffer the trident. But Lord Shiva is attached to her as her husband and she is his wife, then they are devotee couple. Devotees of Lord Krishna. Alright?
Ask one more question.
Yes.
Lord Shiva lives the life of like Akinchan.
Yes.
Still he is able to grant material blessings to his devotees.
Yes.
And Lord Krishna lives a very opulent life wherever on earth or in spiritual sky. But he makes his devotee Akinchan. Why so much contrast?
Because Krishna is so merciful. Yasyaham anugrinami harishe taddhanam shanayehi. Krishna says to Yudhishthir Maharaj, to him on whom I have my mercy, I give the first installment of the mercy when I take away everything. That's why many people get afraid to come to Krishna. Now, for everybody in the room, don't worry, it is too late. You have already come to Krishna, so now don't think of going away. Those who worship Lord Shiva as a demigod, then he deals with them like that. But those who worship Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava, then he blesses them with pure devotion. Okay? Yes. Who has the mic? Yes, okay.
Maharaj, jaise aap Shiv ji ke vasanta ke, lekin Maharaj Mandir Puri Bhaat bolte hain ki jaise main trikal sandhya inko main abhi karta tha, abhi main unko chhod diya, kyunki maine abhi भगवान श्री कृष्ण की पूजा कर रहा हूँ, मैं ये सब को अभी त्याग कर रहा हूँ, तो ऐसे सोचे ये तो अभी उनको त्याग कर रहा है, और यहाँ पे आप जैसे बोले कि शिव जी का हम लोग थोड़ा पूजा कर सकते, सम्मान कर सकते हैं, यहाँ पे माधवेंद्रपुरी एक महान
कर सकते नहीं, करना चाहिए,
करना चाहिए, और यहाँ पे माधवेंद्रपुरी बोलते हम इसको छोड़ दिया, मैं सिर्फ कृष्ण की पूजा करूँ, इसलिए उनको कुछ और आसक्ति होने वाला नहीं,
बताएंगे. Said that now I have given up worship of Lord Shiva, now that I have found Krishna. So Madhavendra Puri says like this, then why are we saying in the lecture that we should worship or we should offer respect to Lord Shiva? Now the answer is, one time Prabhupada asked, one of the disciples asked Srila Prabhupada that, again the same question, how do we respect Lord Shiva? In what way? He said, as a Vaishnava, we offer all respect. But as a demigod, we reject. You see? So what Madhavendra Puri is rejecting is the worship of Lord Shiva as a demigod in order to get some material benedictions. That is being rejected by Madhavendra Puri, not that Lord Shiva himself as a Vaishnava is being rejected. Okay, one last question. Yeah. Yes. You switch on the mic.
That.
Yeah, if there is a question, then maybe we can deal with that. Then
okay,
we can.
Fine.
Okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Why Lord Shiva is known as Ajanma?
Why is Lord Shiva known as Ajanma? Because he has no death. He doesn't die like we do. That's again a principle that will take time to explain. But he comes from Shambhu, who is living with Mahavishnu at the beginning of the creation. So therefore he is sometimes referred to as Ajanma. Okay? Alright, so we will stop here. If you have any questions that are unanswered, you may please note them down. We have two more days to go. So at the end of the lectures tomorrow and day after, you may ask your questions. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Shiva ki jai. Mahashivaratri Mahotsav ki jai. God Premanande.